is that possible? Only believe. Jesus, your
hymn.
Your hymn. All things are possible. Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here. Oh, it's not possible.
Pray. Remember Sister Isabel, I understand she has a kidney infection. That's a late prayer request has come in. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you at this hour, thanking you for your presence and the wondrous grace that you bestowed upon us, that we are the sons of God. Henceforth the world knoweth us not, because they do not know you. And not able to perceive, but we thank you, Lord, that only by grace can we perceive, for we know that except for this moment of truth and your extended grace, we would not see at all. We would think we saw, but we would be wretched, blind, and naked. But, Lord, only by grace are we delivered from all of that, and we thank you for it. And we rest our case in your hands, because your words are altogether gracious.
Yes.
We could not add our words, Lord. It would only spoil everything. We take your word for it and thank you. And now, Lord, we pray for Sister Isabel, that she may be perfectly delivered of this infection, Lord, that nothing shall come but, O God, but all for your honor and glory, Lord, and great praise because of your goodness. Therefore, in Jesus' name, we rebuke it, Lord, by faith.
Yes.
Believing, Lord, we have that right tonight through the shed blood. And your own gracious word, Lord, we look to you for the name of Jesus to rise at this time and scatter all darkness and sickness. And now continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we'll try to finish up the message on the rising of the sun. And as we go into it, I want you to keep in mind that every time you hear something, don't let it throw you. Because, and the reason I say that is because Brother Branham set certain principles of doctrine in the Word, such as false anointing. And you could be going along and you're hearing what he's saying, all right, but you're not understanding it. Because you've got to weigh it in the light of this message. You can't go back in your thinking for 1 minute as to what your understanding was. So every time we go into Scripture, you remember that. That Brother Branham, as I've been bringing your attention, said things different from others. And he has to, because it is the same Scripture that is always perverted. It's not another gospel. No, there's one gospel that was given correctly, and there was a perversion. Now, part of that gospel was missing in the essence or the understanding of. There was part of it was to be revealed, which without revelation is the same as missing. See what I mean? But once it's revealed, then you have the body of truth. So, all right. Now, last Sunday, on page 28, and paragraph 3, Brother Branham referred actually in that paragraph to the Matthew 24 and 24, which was bringing out the false anointed, which of course came from Matthew 15, the same false shepherds in sheep clothing that could not stay with the word, but produced many signs and wonders. Now, you were once dead in sin and trespasses, and darkness has he quickened. By what? What by? His Spirit that raised up Jesus on Easter morning from the dead. And if it dwells in your mortal bodies, now watch, it also quickens, brings to life makes it subject to the Word. Now, how can you claim to have that spirit and throw yourself away from the Word? You're quickened by something else. For it will quicken your mortal bodies to the Word. Sure it will. In other words, there has to be a consistency or a continuity. You don't keep looking way down the road and saying, well, we'll understand someday. This is the hour of understanding. Amen. See? And there's been a vindicated word for it. Now, he said, if you're quickened to something else, now, let's take a look at it. Before you can be quickened to what is not the something else, but to the real, there would have to be a genuine manifestation of what Brother Branham termed a healing revival that would quicken you to a message. But if you simply went back and continued in what you believed when this scriptural evidence was presented, there's something wrong with you. Now that's what he's talking about. So don't think anything other than what he said. Now he said it'll quicken your mortal bodies to the Word. Sure it will. You can't run without it. Now he's talking about mechanics and dynamics and water and gasoline and spark and all those things. You'll just splutter if you don't believe all of it. If you have part gasoline and part water, you aren't going to go anywhere. See, you've got to take it 100% gasoline, which is the mechanics. Now, the adaptation of this scripture is to this hour of the resurrection. And he's telling you right now what he's told you before, that nothing outside of this message comes to light. So therefore, if you turn down the message of the hour, which is the mechanics, you don't have the anointing of God on your soul in the first place, and all you'll do is just cause what he says as a backfiring, and you don't have any power. See, I believe this, but I don't believe that. He said, pump, pump, pump. He said, you're just going nowhere. But when you take the fullness, let it light up on that. Now notice he said, let it light up. And that's exactly what happens. The fire flashes, giving a light, which in turn causes the explosion. In other words, puts the Word of God in you on fire and puts you into action. Now remember, this is the word that Paul spoke of when he said, if by any means that I may be a part of the out-resurrection from among the dead. And he told you how it is done. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, which means immediately behind him. Well, all right, I'll be vulgar. What's behind you? Manure.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but I'm just not a nice preacher. Neither was Paul. Got a nice voice. You'd like to be very nice, you know. That's what he said it was. He called it manure. And then he said, looking at that which is in front means immediately. Now, also the word immediately can mean immediacy, which would be an urgency. So Paul said, I forget just what I came out of. Forget it. Ha! Well, the Pentecostals can't forget it because they're chickens. And he said, looking at what is exactly in front. Well, who is and what is? He who is the revealed Word. What's he here for? Resurrection.
Amen.
So therefore, you keep your eyes on the resurrection of this hour. Now, if you don't do that, shows you ain't got. Now, I don't care anybody else is. Now, of course, I may be wrong, go to hell. You say, well, how come you say that? Because faith is based on nothing you can see. Faith is what you hope to see. Now, Peter knew these days were coming. Even on the day of Pentecost, this is that spoken of by the prophet Joel, come to pass on the last day, saith God, pouring Spirit upon all flesh. Anybody can get an anointing on him. But the criterion will always be, what do you do about that word? Was there a message? Now, anybody can talk obedience, but this is the obedience of faith.
Yes.
All right. We go down now to page 32, and hopefully we'll move faster. And paragraph 6, and the Spirit quickened their fellowship together. Now, what happens here is that Brother Branham, for a few pages, is giving the effects of a true baptism with the Holy Ghost upon a seed, which will be body, soul, and spirit. It'll be evidenced in all three categories because man is a tri-unity, a tripartite being, and that being the case, then, will be manifest among the people. The Spirit quickened their fellowship together with God till they were so quickened into the presence of God until when a person died and the soul had gone off, it called him back to life again. I saw that happen twice in Brother Branham's ministry. That's right, quickened. Not only was his resurrection for himself, but for whosoever will to this predestinated seed, there's a laying there quickened, quickens the mortal body. They lay hands on the sick, they recover. They prayed, and in the Spirit they saw visions, called the dead back to life. Now, Brother Branham, as I mentioned, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles with the vision, and Brother Branham closes the door. It's over with visions. All right. Quicken their mortal bodies. And if it comes into you, if it be so now, you can say it's so, but if it's so, these signs follow them. See, it quickens your mortal body to quicken you. Now, right off the bat, you see, you think that just as soon as Brother Branham talked about signs, oh, well, that's all it takes. That's a Pentecost thought. You can get thrown so quick off of this word by the word itself, misdivided or misunderstood. And one word off of Satan's kingdom. Do what you want. That's just the way it goes. Now, he's not talking out of both corners of his mouth, because it can't be done anyway. Otherwise, you can eat watermelon from both sides and spit seeds through the middle. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Hogwash. No way it can be done. In the spiritual, natural follows laws. Now, notice. Quickened into the presence of God. Now he's talking about this hour.
Yeah.
When did Pentecost or anybody need to know about the presence of God? They already knew it. Oh, they say, well, just a minute now, we're quickened to it. Well, how are you quickened to it? A whole bunch turned down the signs and wonders and the miracles, and consequently turned the word down too. And the miracle bunch turned down the word. What were they quickened to? That's what the prophet asked. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to read this. You've got to hear this and read it according to what's in the mind of the prophet. You let your own thinking go. Quickened into the presence of God. And he said, that's what my ministry is all about. I thought his ministry was a message. Why? It was the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the grave. He's here to do the same thing. I give them eternal life. Come from the Greek word, if you look it up, Zoe, which moves through you and quickens even their mind. Now, here he says here, quickens even their mind. All right? If we're not aware of him who is the resurrection, then I ask this question, will we be in it? See, that's the whole thing. Jesus had to quicken Martha to the fact that he was the resurrection, so therefore she could believe that Lazarus would come forth. Now, you cannot believe God for a resurrection apart from the hour in which the resurrection takes place, and God's got to raise the dead. And where's the dead going to be raised? Here on earth. And where are the seven thunders? They're not in heaven. They were thundered on earth.
Yeah.
And that's when time runs out. And when time runs out, then you got to go back to the Garden of Eden. Because that's what he said, lest Adam partake, stretch forth his hand and live forever. There was a period of time in there. And the period of time has run out.
Praise God.
Time's run out. Or people think, oh, that time, this time, that. Oh, gosh. He's dealing in repentance and redemption especially.
Mm-hmm.
Then if he's dealing in that, he's dealing in the individual per se that's in it. not the universes,
amen,
not the angels, not the devil, not the kingdom, not this, not that, man. Right?
Yeah.
See, let's get it where it belongs. You get time and eternity blending. It's in the process of redemption. And what is it? It's a body taken on eternal life standing right here.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you got to get your thinking lined up. Now, that couldn't happen on this hour. I ask you, who's going to do it? And he does all three in descending.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, brother, sit here. Let's get this flat. The church is always quickened to the word that just ran out. The people got quickened after Luther's word died. It was full of wiggle tails. They got quickened then to Methodism. And now they're quickened to Pentecost, and it's dead, dead, dead.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what they get, signs and wonders and miracles. Oh, yeah. Remember those hogs old Judge Sullivan told Brother Branham about? Guy raised the best hogs in the world. Everybody loved those hogs. He knew just how to bring them right to the tail end. Right to a peak, and a man come by, and he say, "Say," he said, "I got to understand you raise fine hogs." I sure do. And I get the best money for it. I said, "No argument there. I'll give you the best money because I want the best hogs." He said, "Let me see him." He said, "Okay." He said, took up a stick and whopped on a hollow log, and the hogs came running in. Why, he said, beautifully. He said, "I'll buy them now." I said, "Oh, you ain't going to buy those hogs." He said, "Takes 2 weeks to finish." Well, he said, "They're good enough." I said, "Look, man," he said, "I am the expert. You want the best, I provide it." He said, "Come back in 2 weeks for yours." Came back in 2 weeks. The guy said, "You don't want them." "What do you mean, don't want them?" "What do you say, you won't want them?" But he said, "You just lied to me." I said, "Didn't lie to you. Didn't lie to you. Hogs are no good. They're a mess." "Oh," he said, "you just want my money." He said, "No," he said. "No." Picked up the stick and beat in the hog log. The hogs came running. "It's scrawniest, leanest things you ever saw." "Oh," he said, "my heavens, what happened?" "What?" He said, "You heard it, didn't you?" "He said, you beat that log." "What?" He said, "a bunch of woodpeckers invaded the," that's why I call them defeating, "a bunch of woodpeckers invaded my lot here, and they beat on all the hollow logs. Those hogs ran us out there trying to get food." I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, that's exactly what signs and wonders and miracles were. There was nothing of the word in it per se. Yeah, you understand, I'm not saying anything against signs and wonders and miracles. I'm just saying you can't stop with that. It went out. The gifts were restored. Now you've got life in the word. You've got something else. And I'm going to tell you, when the prophet beat on the, he didn't beat on a hollow log. He beat on the living tree, so to speak. She brought the waters of life, but people didn't want it. See, they turned it down. Now, how, I say, when you're supposed to be aware of him who raises the dead and don't even want to be in his, don't talk about his presence and aren't quickened to his presence, then what in the world? I get letters, I get phone calls all the time. People willing to die because they understand he's present. They said, "This is what I've looked for all my life." I don't know what anybody's looking. I don't know. That's what I say. Well, I realize. Look, I want you folk to realize, and I know a lot of people are going to get this tape, so that's why I speak this way. You understand that? Look, I do not go by experience per se, my brother, my sister. Don't think I do. We can be just as fooled as anybody can, but the prophet said different.
Yeah.
And I'm going by Scripture. See? I'm going to tell you, if God hadn't to come visit Sarah and Abraham, they never would have got their change. It took a personal visitation. It took a Sodom condition. And that's why people still can't understand what's going on. The Sodom condition hasn't come to its peak yet. We've been declared the righteous bride of Christ, but the world hasn't come to its peak. Oh, there may be 3 people left before it's all over. I'm not pessimistic, brother, sister. I'm not pessimistic. But you better realize there's 3 kinds of believers. And the Bible speaks of certain things that must pervade and go on and prevail in the non-seed. And it will. You know, Jesus Christ had 12 and one is the devil. That's the world's record right there. Up in heaven, God didn't do so good. He lost one third to the devil right off the bat. That was the record right there. Don't look for it too good, kid. All right, you understand what I'm saying. Now look, how can you say the Spirit dwells in you though you've done everything that you thought was right? Now that'll throw you right there. See? Well, I'm supposed to do this right? No, you're judging the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the true evidence of the Holy Ghost by something you're looking at outside the Scripture. Let's keep reading. Here's your evidence whether you've got it or not. If the Spirit that was in Christ is in you, it also quickens you to the Word, for He is the Word. Well, they say, well, just a minute, I've been born again, I've got this, I've been quickened to the Word. No, you haven't been. That Word has run out. They say, oh, come on, no Word runs out. Well, that's a lie right there. Because the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away until all these words be fulfilled. So therefore, if the Word gets fulfilled, then it's fulfilled. It passes away. My Word will not pass away, it'll be fulfilled. For He is the Word. Now, listen here. He said, here's your evidence, whether you got it or not. And he's talking about this hour. If the Spirit that was in Christ is in you, it also quickens you to the Word, for He is the Word. Then how can a person say he's quickened to God and be off the Word?
Yeah.
Now you know that you're in the presence and part of that presence in that literal sense if you believe the message. And if contrary quickens you away from the Word, then it isn't the Spirit of Christ. Don't care what you've done until that moves you in the Word. My sheep hear my voice, and they shall live by every word. Now right in there, people often think, well, all right, that means obedience, that means every single thing that's incumbent upon us to do. Well, that's great then. I suppose now you had a meal tonight, and then you did everything you were supposed to do because you had dinner. No. No, you didn't. But you had to have food, or you wouldn't be doing anything. You simply die. So you see, the emphasis is not on what you do, it's on what you eat. Israel had to eat before they got going on the journey. Elijah ate three times in a row, went 40 days and 40 nights. And that's what's wrong with people. They think they can do a lot of things, and the doing of the thing is what counts, when it's not the doing of the thing, it's first of all being from a right source and a mainspring, then what comes?
Yeah.
See? Now, let's watch what comes to not heeding what the prophet says. He talks about an illustration about his mother being a woman that had dreams and so on. And then he said, I remember one time when I first started preaching many years ago. We were living right up here on the road, right above here. I was preaching one night here at the church. She dreamed a dream that I was standing here by the side of three steps. And I was standing preaching to everybody that they must walk up these three steps before they hit the highway. That is, they got onto the road. And on the highway, like a little pearly, like white line, right running right into the doors of heaven to the pearly gates, and that pearl had stretched out to the top of these steps. If that isn't my message exactly, justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, three steps, see, one, two, three, put you on the road. Now let's see if you're on the road. We've gone through justification, sanctification, baptism. Now let's see if you're on the road. Now here's the acid test. Okay? I was saying that a person has to come by these three steps to be able to walk on that highway. And said there's a lady came by. Now you know the kind of shoes people wore 35 years ago. Well, there was a lady come by and had on a great big pair like they wear today, spike heel shoes. She come by and said, wait a minute, sister. I said, you can't walk on that highway with that. And I said, you can't do that. And she said, ah. She just looked around the restaurant and said, don't you believe him. He's a madman. Don't believe him. I'll show you I can be justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and still walk like that. I just let her go. Couldn't do any more about it. Couldn't stop her. She jumped on the highway, looked back to sister and said, see, I told you. Started to run. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 5th chapter? They'd have outstretched necks they have to because they're pitched over, see? That's what those high heels. Mincing as they have to, the twist mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their heels, see? The daughters of Zion in the last days. And she started up that highway just as hard as she could run after a while the road got narrow and narrow. And she started reeling, mincing like that, and off she went. And mother said, the horriblest screams I ever heard in my life was that woman falling those flames and smoke going down, down like that. And she turned around and said, see? And he turned around and said, see? God is in the prophets.
Yeah.
You believe that one? Ah, come on. You believe it 1/3 or 1/5 or 1/20. I'm not trying to put you over a stump, but come on. Do we really believe it? That God was really in the prophets? Well, what's different between William Branham and us? Nothing. Nothing. Brother Branham one day thought to himself, he said they called it, was over in Topeka, Kansas, I guess. It was Topeka, Tulsa. Oklahoma, Northern Tulsa, Topeka, Kansas. Oh, yeah, Topeka, Kansas, right. This fellow got hurt by the wall falling on him for him, preacher, nice fellow. And Brother Vance, as he sat there thinking, he thought, well, you know, in the old days, they just called Jesus and he'd go lay hands on him. He said, wouldn't that be nice? He said, you know, he said, I lay hands on the sick. And he said, but I'm not like the Lord, don't have hands like his, clean and all. He said, but I do have a little gift. And he said, I go down and pray for him to get healed. And the Lord spoke to him, so what's the difference? Same hands. He began to realize that he was just on the grace of God like you and me. See, what I'm trying to show you is this. Brother Branham literally didn't have any more grace than we had. He got a ministry different from ours. But the grace of God is the grace of God. And you don't frustrate it. You believe it, see? Now, she just obeyed everything but one word, see? Everything but one word. Sure, Pentecost women can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then fail. Now, just a minute. How can you be sealed in by Almighty God with a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost and still be lost? Now, the prophet cannot eat watermelon in the middle of his mouth and spit seeds up both sides any more than eat watermelon from both sides and spit seeds up the middle. Nope. You got to chew it up, spit up. In other words, the Word of God has one course also. Now make up your mind. Well, you can tell right here it's a false anointing.
Amen.
Because he'd already told you, if you say, if the spirit that's contrary to the Word is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost per se as a true baptism, it's merely anointing. Or it's another spirit entirely. See? Now, he says here, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that can be. See? See? And she failed it. Now, what was her failure? She didn't believe the prophet. See? Now, God is in his word and identified by the word, and that which is perfect has come. So we abide in it, we believe it. And I said she'd have gone right on in all right, but she failed to listen, telling her what was ahead. And he's written the Gospels by the apostles and disciples. He's written the Gospels by the disciples, apostles, and doctrine of the apostles and prophets and so forth, and they won't listen. Now, what's he saying here? The paradox is what he's telling them. A man comes divinely commissioned by God, and being a prophet, God in him, standing right there, and they don't take it.
Amen.
Now then, that's Ephesus. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Now they're not going to believe it. See? Now, notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. All right? If you have the Holy Spirit, baptism, then you're quickened to the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ. Then if you're quickened to it, you'll be quickened to nothing else. See? I'm trying to show you that when you raised, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also and also quickened to life with him. You are now quickened to life, although then you were an attribute in his thoughts, but God had seen all in him at the finish. Now, what he's simply telling you there is not hard to understand. He said there'd be a message at the end time when he descended them with a shout, and you would be able to receive it. Because if you were an attribute back there in him, then of course you wouldn't have to, as any plant or any life of an origin subsists through the nourishment that life required, and he was that word, then you'll be the same thing. Because you're the same source. Because you're in him. I can show you that. You get a poppy seed, a mustard seed, and you find out exactly what the poppy survives by or the mustard survives by, and you take that seed. In that seed is the complete attribute of everything. To the alchemy or the chemistry that's in the soil, rather in the plant, and you'll see that plant is nourished by what the original was nourished by. So, all right, that's what he's talking about. Now, when God looked down upon the body, the Spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die as a man. That's exactly right. Remember, God invaded the vessel. He filled the vessel down the River Jordan, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took his exit. Then Jesus died as a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. He didn't have to. If he'd have gone up there as God, he never died that kind of death. In other words, if he'd have gone up there simply on the cross as God, he'd have come down off the cross. They'd done what they could. They couldn't kill him. What if he had just refused to die, and they'd have beat him and beat him and beat him and done their best until men got exhausted? You and done it would have scared the living daylights out of him. They'd have said, well, this man has got to be God, because you can't kill God. Just like William Branham stood in the platform, he said, take your choice. You vote. He said, who wants to see 24 of the worst cases healed? I guarantee healing for 24 people here, or who just takes their chance? Everybody took a chance. Why take a chance if you can get a guaranteed thing?
Amen.
It would have torn the world from one end to the other. So it could never be done. There'd be no 24 guaranteed miracles. But instead, there were several hundred that were already guaranteed. And they went right under their noses. Nobody paid any attention. I'm sure I'm the only one of about 3,000 paid any attention. I'm sure there's nobody else. I'm not boasting. I'm sure there's nobody else. That's not unusual. It's going to be one of a million. If there's one out of a million, it's make the rapture. And remember, my brother and my sister, there are 4.8 billion people right now, and China has 1 billion. And they have no desire for Jesus the Lord. So what are you going to do? Now, he didn't have to do it. Remember, he went up there with you in him, see? God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. Well, that's Adam and Eve's situation back in the beginning. It was all redeemed in that one body, see? Well, if we're redeemed, we're redeemed.
Yeah.
See, they are the same word. The same word spoken of the groom speaks of the bride. That's exactly right. Whatever said about him is said about us. We're attributes. Well, how can the bride come and fail to manifest everything that was promised of him? Well, she can't. Everything that was promised, we're heir to.
Amen.
And the groom come, and the groom come, and he wouldn't be the bride. Now watch what he's saying here. How can the bride come and fail to manifest everything that was promised of him, and the groom come, and he wouldn't be the bride? You can't tell them apart because they're one. I and my Father are one. So one with him, it's all over. Like Brother Brown said, so dead that the moon didn't shine, the stars didn't shine, everything went into chaos. Now we're so one with him, everything goes into light.
Yes.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
That's what resurrection's all about. But when he did everything, even to proving it by raising himself up from the dead afterward, then don't the bride have to do the same thing? Have to be exactly what the Word said she'd be in the last days? Well, in other words, if he went through death and resurrection because he had to do it, what about the bride? She's got it. He said, don't she have to return to Malachi 4? Sure. Don't she have to be manifested like it was in the days of Sodom? Doesn't she have to come out with all this junk here and leave him alone? Sure. Doesn't it have to be around the bride, sin heaped up till it runs over? Sure. See? People want to get back to eating before there's an eating to get back to. Doesn't the world have to be exactly like it is? Aren't these things a perfect identification of the Word of God made known to us? In other words, everything is happening just as the Scripture laid it up. But God foresaw the bride and the groom. Hallelujah. See, to save his wife like Adam, he had to go with her. Adam knew what he was doing. Eve didn't know what she was doing. But Adam walked up with his wife. That's exactly right. She didn't know. The Bible says she didn't. Adam did know. Adam was not in the transgression. In other words, he wasn't fooled. She was. Jesus took his wife's place and became sin for her. That's a sin offering. Taking your place. Remember, he became you. He stood your punishment. That was the cross. That you might stand in his place, that's the throne. He stood in your place that you might stand in his place. That's what he said. Him that overcometh and sit in my throne. What a love. What a fellowship. How can we deny it? How can we do anything but love him, friend? I could stand for hours, but let's move a little further. Like the Pentecost experience today and the coming of the Holy Spirit in this last days of promise is like the abstract to title deed. Now watch what he's preaching here is what he preached in the seals. Now you can get a title. Sure, see? You can get a title to a place, but that still don't say it's yours, and that's true. Yeah, that's why everybody needs to have their property, their title searched by good researchers. Now, no sir, somebody way back yonder could come in and put a claim on it. That's right. Maybe somebody put a piece of claim on your property, $35 you didn't own. Take your house away from you. Everything is crooked. But when you get an abstract, that shows that everything that's ever struck against it, that's ever against it, is struck off. Plumb back from the foundation. Is that right? Now, what's an abstract? It's a part of a court record. That's exactly right. All right? Now, you'll notice that it says it's struck off. And it doesn't say it was struck off illegally. It would have to be struck off legally if it goes through the processes of the court and the law, or it's not struck off. So therefore, every claim to justice has been satisfied. And when a man says he believes that the Word, and then the Holy Spirit comes, it's the abstract to the title. And that gives you permission, when you have that abstract, that every bit of that belongs to you and everything on it belongs to you. Now that's what the message and the Word tells you at this hour. You own what has been proclaimed, which is everything in Christ is yours because you are in Him. Now, so therefore, how can the bride not claim the promises of this hour? And that gives us the abstract. When the Holy Ghost comes upon this title deed, that God saw back yonder before the foundation of the world. Your name in the book of life. Though you're born through a man and woman, subject to sin and guilty of sin. But when I believed on it, I received the deed. But when the Holy Ghost came, it was the abstract that everything against me, whether my mother did it, my father, my grandmother, like an epileptic child I prayed a few minutes ago, came up from the grandparents, epilepsy fell down upon the child, I said. But when the abstract has come, it struck off, omitted everything. I'm an abstract holder then, amen. In other words, the record is clear for every really born-again believer to receive what is in this hour, which is immortality, resurrection, perfection, so on. And as sure as the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I have an abstract deed that I'm a part of that body, with the abstract of the Holy Ghost making that body of Word live out, just exactly like it did as He promised in the last day, the abstract. Now notice He puts everything in the last day. See? Now shows the necessity of the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. That clears it all. Now, all my sins are struck out. All your sins are struck out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost has come as an abstract to the title deed that God gave me by grace and foreknowledge. Now, that I've given you this many times in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And it says here, for by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Tells you right there. What are you scared about? No wonder he said, fear not. I am he that was dead and am alive again. And I'm alive forevermore. That's from this time on, no more death. And have the keys of death and hell. Don't worry about anything. Even death's not going to hurt you. Now remember, this is said, as Brother Branham said, the judge said it as he stood before John. He was not in his glorified form. He saw him as judge. And now there he is, the judge right up there. What is it? It's representation right here, because he as the man cannot come, but he was God in human form. That's what we're looking at all the time. Now he says right here, and he tells you the whole beauty of it. He said, I was dead, I'm alive, there's no way that death can touch me. And that is said at a time when death cannot touch those to whom the abstract has been verified. It's no longer in due process, it's been processed. Because the pronouncement from the court has been, you're clear. You're the righteous bride. There's nothing against you. In fact, you didn't even do it at all. All right. Notice, beautiful. Let's go right back now, quick. The abstract title, the debt is settled. Everything against it has been struck off. Glory. I may act silly, but I feel good. Notice. See, oh, an abstract deed. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize what that means, brother? There's nothing can take it away from you. Now, you see, there's your ceiling in. Amen, I'm a holder. Amen. I have now cashed in on my benefits of his death, burial, and resurrection. He become me that I might become him. Now, the question is, how could that be? Well, that's very simple, because there's no such thing as a true transmutation. Now, you can get some hybridization, but you cannot get a true transmutation. There's no two ways about it. A horse cannot turn into a dog, and a dog cannot turn into a pig. See? So therefore, when we talk about Christ becoming us and we becoming him, it is because we come from a joint source, and we were sons and our sons. So he took the place of all the fallen sons to bring us back to the captivity of God. See? Now, see, he said here, he became a son that I might become a son. And behold, and that's a manifested son. He always was a son. And behold the abstract deed, for these signs shall follow and believe. And the abstract deed. Now see, you'll notice in here again, when he throws this in, these signs follow them that believe. If you don't bring that up to date on the paradox and understand absolutely what he's talking about, in that referring to Mark 16 or Hebrews 10, you can turn right around and say, oh, well, hey, it let the Roman Catholics are going in. They talk in tongues and everything else. What if I put that? I did put that in my Bible. I wanted to read it to you. I might have put it in and I might have dropped it out. No, I didn't drop it. Listen. Lutheran and Catholic theologians have made a joint statement on papal infallibility, declares. The ultimate trust of Christians is in Christ and the gospel, not in a doctrine of infallibility, whether of Scripture, the Church, or Pope. You talk about isn't that a tongue twister in there? It says the ultimate trust of Christians is in Christ and the gospel, not in a doctrine of infallibility, whether of Scripture, the Church, or Pope. Well, why do they put and the gospel? In other words, the first four books, and you can drop dead on the rest. So therefore, all we got to do is to talk about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, amen, that's great. Well, no wonder they can kiss each other's toes. So much for them. I guess we just lost up. Praise God. I never was too unhappy when they told me I couldn't play poker with the professionals. Or said I shouldn't play Russian roulette. So I'm glad now that they're going to exclude me from going into the unknown. Now, quickly, before we got a few minutes more, let's notice quickly the quickening spirit. Now, I'm going to show you some signs that you'll understand. Listen. Now, watch with this quickening power. That was my subject after the sun is raised up. Look how it did to them at Pentecost, what it did to them, what that quickening power did to them. It quickened them. Now, let's notice what it did to Stephen. Stephen's full of quickening power. Wasn't that right, see? Full of quickening power. It didn't make him scared. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. God resists the Holy Ghost like your father did, so do you. Now, who is he talking to? The religious order of the day. Now, who are we going to talk to? Pentecostal. Yeah. Do you think I'm going to run out to the Catholic church and tell them this? Hey, boy, you better believe him, Junior. Which one of the prophets that showed forth the coming of the just one didn't your father stone? Three kind of believers, always in every church. Write that on the forefront of your skull and don't forget it. Took me a long time to learn my lesson because I'm nicer than God. And I'm nicer than the prophet. You didn't know that, but I didn't. And you know that I've often said that Jesus Christ, if he was really God, was, well, you know, he was an underachiever, like Woody Allen said. It's a very true statement. William Brown's an underachiever. Really was. And of course, people look back at Paul and they think, well, now, just a minute, that. Now, there's the man that you model. I know it's not so, because every age has a different message and a different adaptation to it. Brother Brand said, you don't run in the seventh age like you ran in the sixth age. See? I said, now listen, watch this now. Don't make difference what they say, see? He was full of quickening power. He had the gasoline, the dynamics were falling on him. He said, go up to the desert. And he found a eunuch there and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, one man. Took the message down to Ethiopia, that right, he obeyed God. In obedience to God, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you better do it. When watch the quickening power pick you up then, see? In other words, he's telling you right now, if you're not baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have that much revelation. You're not going to have any subsequent either. But you get that far, then watch how God will begin to move. When Stephen did this great thing, not Stephen, but Philip, did this great thing to lead that great revival and obey the command of God when he fulfilled by baptizing this eunuch in obedience to God, he was so full of quickening power till it caught him away. It'll quicken your mortal bodies. This spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it quickened Philip until he wasn't seen for maybe 150 miles somewhere else. How did he do it? He was full of quickening power. Well, you take a look at this and you can be sort of understand here that when this man was baptized, this Gentile baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Philip was literally raptured. All right? When you begin to understand when the name comes back and the true baptism comes back and the word comes back, what's going to happen? There's going to be a rapture. We'll be catching away. Oh, Church of the Living God, we can't stand around here on little sugar tits that we're nursing around here today. We got to be full up and prayed up with quickening power until the quickening of the Holy Ghost. We got to be caught away in that rapture yonder. Yes, sir, amen. Oh, my. Now, please excuse the expression. I was thinking about a mother that makes the little sacks. We used to for the baby. Some of you old mammies remember. Little old baby gets to squall and you take some coffee, ground sugar, wrap it up in a sack and then suck on it just to pacify him. There's no strength in it. It'll kill him. See, that old caffeine in there and stuff like a little sweetener, make him swallow it down, was getting caffeine in. Now, what was the caffeine for? Well, actually, caffeine is a stimulator. If this doesn't quieten you down, the sugar maybe is a bit of a pacifier, but the child maybe was stimulated to something else. We get our stimulation by revelation, not by something the world gives. The church tries to poke down our throats. We're tired of stuff as that, imitations, you see, emotions and you know, hilarious doings. Get back, your equals, back to the Word of God. Be burly. Nothing can hurt your feelings. Therefore, you're free from all the scandal of men. Whatever anybody says against you, that just brings you more love, quickening power. Caught away in the heavenlies, an eagle that's done flew above the chickens, way up yonder in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sure, your love for God increases. There's nothing like it to make it increase. Or it was on Philip that quickened him, caught him away. Let's take another man. There was a man by the name of Enoch. Now this is bringing up to date by type. Now he walked with every word of God for about 500 years, had a testimony, and haven't one time failed his word. He got so full of quickening power with the dynamics hit him on them mechanics, he didn't even have to die. He just took him up home, started walking. He, so like Philip, he got so full of quickening power, instead of going over to Gaza, to another place where they found him in the upper coast, instead of just that, he said, I'm an old man anyhow. I just got so much quickening power, I'll just walk right out of the earth. Now, that's what happens at the end of the age. The quickening power is going to get us out of here. See, and that, remember, the word must be quickened. In other words, that word become alive, and then it becomes alive to us because we believe it. And that's the same quickening power that we have right now. What quickening power? Rapture and faith. It'll quicken our mortal bodies. Is that right? Sure. Quickening power. Enoch, with that perfect testimony that everything God told me to do, I did it. Everything that I saw, he said for me to do, I did it. And he became so full of mechanics until when the quickening power struck him, the mechanics, it just lifted him right up. He walked out on the earth into heaven. Now, see, there again, you see, showing you that there's no getting out of here without this word. It will not quicken the word of yesterday. It won't quicken signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, in Mark 16, it won't do it. Now, Mark 16 is there. Just the same as Luther's there, Wesley's there, they're all there, but that's not going to do it. See?
Yeah.
The promise of the hour is what we're into. Now notice, look, Elijah, great prophet, excuse me, brother, sister, in that day he busted them painted-faced women, them Jezebels and Ahabs, and nobody looked like stood with him. He rebuked, devoured, and stood out there, and God had taken care of him, helped him in every place. You know, the old fellow got tired one day and said, I'm getting old, so can't go no further. They say he was going on, he gets 90 years old. Real old, walking around, and he's so full of quickening power, you know what? He looked across Jordan. Oh, God, I can almost see this side, can't you? So full of quickening power that he saw a chariot hooked over there, some horses of fire and chariots of fire, hooked to some tree over there, just walked across the river and went home without even dying. Quickening power. Caused the chariot to come down from heaven, take him up. Even picked off his coat and threw it back on Elijah. Is that right? Elijah, is that right? Now, of course, the Brother Branham talks about the flying saucers in the same category. The investigating angels, the same thing is going to come and take us home. In other words, look, the investigation, right here, the judge that investigated said, this is it, you're going out. So that's what you're looking at, see? And remember, the Brother Branham puts an emphasis on these men getting old. He was getting old too, but not that old. But what I'm looking at is this, the earth is waxing old like a garment. Everything is old. It's worn out, and therefore we need a quickening, and the earth is waiting for its day for a little bit of resurrection power too. Now then, that fellow picked up that robe. That's Elisha, see? Picked up the robe. Now, he did twice the miracles, which is the type of Christ in church, see? Elijah did 4, Elisha did 8. See, now he had double the power because he asked for it. Greater than this shall I do, shall you do. This, he said, greater things than this that I do shall you do, see? But he was so full of quickening power and everything till he did all those double. What Elijah did, he did more. Now, and notice, he lived a life up to 80 or 90 years. He got old, then he died. And they took him and buried him. You know well that quickening power didn't leave him. Many years ago, when the flesh, now watch this illustration, it's been what I've been preaching all along. When the flesh had robbed off the bones, he's laying in a tomb. They packed a dead man there one day. When they saw the enemy, they just threw the man on top of Elijah's bones. There was so much quickening power in those bones, the man jumped to life again. That would have been very interesting, wouldn't it? Resurrection, you see, resurrection is return, brother, sister, not an exchange. That man was anointed. The anointing never left his body, that anointing right there. It followed it to gases. That's right. It's all marked down. It's all going to come back.
Amen.
Remember, resurrection is not an exchange. It's a return. He'll quicken your mortal bodies. Though dead and rot in the grave, yet that quickening power rested over that dirt. Hallelujah. He that raised up Christ in the dead also quickens your mortal body. Elijah, come back. Elisha and Elijah. Remember, that dead man, that prophet, full of that quickening power, laying in the grave, rotted away. There was so much quickening power till they threw a dead man on him. He come to lay. He could still lay hands with it, couldn't he? Amen. There you are. So Brother Branham didn't take his healing with him, did he? Remember, we are flesh of his flesh. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. Or there's no way out of it. Now watch what he said. Oh, there's no way out of that. We're going to rise, and that's all. Just going to rise, that's all. Like I said many times, there's going to be resurrection whether you and I want or not. We're going to have to appear whether you want or not. Well, this says you ain't going to miss this. It's fatalistic. Predestination. Easter means more than a tradition. It's also now. For our bodies are quickened with him, and we're sitting in heavenly places. And this body may rot in the sea. It may rot in the ground. And there may not be a spoonful of ashes, but she's coming forth. Notice what he said, not even a spoonful. For the spirit that raised up my Lord from the dead has quickened this mortal body. It quickened your mortal body. We are his beneficiaries of his resurrection, his policy of eternal life I talk so much about. No wonder he said, fear not. He knew for it. As Paul said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? I'm full of quickening power. Thanks be to God who gives the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, quickening power, oh my. But you see, the quickening power is to this end of this hour. They had their quickening power to get them out of the grave. We've got quickening power to keep us out of the grave. See? He's alive forevermore. Yesterday, today, and forever the same. Hebrews 13:8. Notice, Messiah, the anointed one. So is his bride. The Messiah is the anointed one. In other words, that's a complete identification. That's why the Spirit and the bride say, come. They got one word, one life, one everything. Notice, death does not stop God's quickening power. Death can't stop it. When you've got it, it's eternal. There's nothing that's going to stop it. You can't harness it. You can't do anything to it. If you live your life out, that still doesn't stop it. It's just as good as it was. See, notice, Moses is full of that quickening power. Was he? He was the prophet who the word came to. He was part of the word. He was the word of that day. Is that right? And after he's dead 800 years on Mount Transfiguration, there he stood as Elijah. Is that right? Quickening power. Death. Don't never take it away. No. It'll raise it up again. The angels come, buried him down there in the valley. He had been rotten and gone. His bones were gone. Everything else. But the quickening power was still there. It quickened him and brought him up. And there he was standing there. What about the angels that came down to Brother Branham? Going to get him out of the grave. He's going to come out. Yeah. Notice. Is that right, Brother Branham? After 800 years, oh my. You read Matthew, I've got scripture, Matthew 27:51. When all those back there, the Bleasy would come, the Bible said, here, they were sleeping in the ground. Quickening power was upon them. They were part of him, those saints. They were part of him because they believed on him. Potentially, they had that life through the sacrifice of a sheep, propitiation, which could never bring the spirit of a sheep back upon a man. How about now with the spirit of man, God himself upon him? See, how much quickening power do we have? But through the propitiation for sinners offered a lamb in type. What we have is not the type, the anti-type. What are we scared about? And those fellows who only had a type pointing to his resurrection went down to the grave with it. There Job back under that great strain. My, everything took away. And the devil said, let me have him. I'll make him curse you to your face. And he broke loose and said, don't take his life. And he did all but take his life. His wife even turned against him, said her breath had become strange to him. In other words, she said she had nothing to do with him. She didn't seem to love him anymore. Just pushed him away. Job, you're miserable. Why don't you curse God and die? She said, you talk like a foolish woman. See, oh my. He held right to what he had. He was a prophet. He said, I'm not a sinner. I've offered to provide a sacrifice. Amen. He knew where he was standing. He was on the word. No matter what others said, he was right there at the word. Then the great thunderous, tremendous hour said, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I came in this world nothing. I came here naked. I'll go out the same way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sitting there, broke out in boils. Kids dead. Poverty stricken. Friends turned against him. Church members and everybody. Scraping this up with a potsherd. What a miserable wretch. None of you ever made through that yet. Still, he held to that word. He was an eagle. Oh, my, you can't keep the film over his eyes all the time. No, no. All at once, standing on the word, it happened. The skies flew back. The thunders began to roar. Lightning began to flash. Job looked up and saw a vision. Said, I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last days will stand upon this earth. And though after skin worms has destroyed this body, bones and all, the quickening power will be here. I'll see God for myself, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold not another. Is that right? Though after my reins be consumed within me, though after the skin worms that's in my body now will destroy it. You know, skin worms don't come to you. They're already in you. You notice that? Put you in an airtight cotton. Bugs, coffin. Bugs will eat you up anyway. You are just a bunch of bugs to begin with in the inside. Though the skin worms, my skin worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh I'll see God. In other words, you're going to come back. On that resurrection morning, hallelujah. Matthew, the great writer, 27:51, said after his resurrection from the dead, the Old Testament saints, many of those who slept in the dusty earth came out of the grave and the city appeared to many. See, that's the out-resurrection among the dead. That's the out-resurrection, first resurrection. That quickening power still on them through the still on them bones of Elijah. When there was no more bones still on Job, when there wasn't a spoonful of dust left in his body, the quickening power was still there, even on the gases. It's marked. If this spirit that raised up Jesus the dead dwell in you, quicken your mortal body. Now, I see you putting down scripture. Already put down 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Notice how beautiful. See, in the saints, them that slept in Christ, God will bring with him. See, saints in the grave, resting like Elijah was. Some like Elijah was. Some will be quickened. Some will be taken. Some be in the grave. Then we'll be with him. The trumpet of God will sound. Dead in Christ will rise first. We which remain alive, be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The quickening power on the living. The quickening power on the dead. See, both. At this hour. Not before. See, the Holy Spirit couldn't do that. See, that same quickening power God presented in both of these prophets. Look at their names, almost the same, Elisha and Elijah. See, the bride and groom, one is Mr. Jesus, one is Miss Jesus, almost the same. See, just he and she, see, Elijah, and how it's represented here. Now, Elijah was taken up in the rapture, represents the church. All right, Elijah. Elisha rested until the resurrection. See, just like two birds need two wings to balance themselves. The church represented right here in the two prophets. We which are alive remain, the coming Lord shall not hinder them as defeat. Trumpet of God will sound. Both wings come together and fly away. Yes, sir. Cause what? The living are dead. Quickening power still lives. Now remember, quicken to see what these things are. Quickening power of this day. Not long ago, for help, I think our Lord said, and so did Paul. What the Father showed me, I've held nothing back, I tell you. In these last days, when we see the quickening power upon us, he even gives us quickening power to see the sick healed. We have seen the quickening power working among us like it was then upon them in the early days. See, it brings back by vision and raises the dead seed. It makes the sick well. That's Hebrews 13:8. The other day, I was telling someone, little Donovan Wartz here, hunting with him. Poor little fellow, nice little guy, come to church here, just a friendly, good friend of mine. Didn't want to bother you. He said, I looked at his ear, and it was all like turned inside out, and I said, how are you, Donovan? Took him by the hand, it was cancer. Said, Donovan, what's the matter with your ear? He said, don't know, Brother Branham. 6 or 7 months just keeps getting bigger. Why don't you do something about it? I didn't want to bother you, Brother Branham. You know what it is? He said, I have an idea. I just put my hand over him, never said a word. 2 days after, there wasn't even a scar. What is it? Quickening power. See, it quickens your mortal body. His ear would eat off. His brain would have gone. See, he would have died, but quickening power. Amen. Now, the thing is this. That was forerunning a genuine message and a part to draw people's attention to it. The question comes, how many people understand what Brother Branham was all about and the words all about in this hour? Hundreds of thousands were healed. And one day I was weary myself. I said, boys, you better go ahead. Boy, you better go ahead. You're 50 years old. If you're going to do anything, Lord, you better hurry up and do it. You're getting old. See? And there that morning, quickening power come. He let me look over the curtain. I saw all of you there. I said, that was a prophetic vision. See? I said, all you ever loved and loves you, he'll give to you. See? I saw you all. I saw them all over there. What was it? Quickening power. That was the vision for this hour. It's a prophetic vision. John the Revelator, filled with quickening power, stood up and saw the end of the beginning. Elias, Isaiah, filled with quickening power, stood up and saw the millennium and all. Quickening power. And if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it quickens your mortal body. In other words, this is the end time prophet, the end time message, the end time everything. All right, remember the quickening power. Look, what we've seen in this day, quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of man? No, the quickening power of God. The quickening power of God foretold this would take place, see, but the quickening power of God made the world testify to it. It's the truth. The angel of the Lord, what I told you was around, the pillar of fire, quickening power, let the world testify that it's the truth. And in that, they didn't even know what it was. And we see who just looked this way. It's our Lord there. In other words, he points the picture there and over here. That was taken scientifically. He's the one who opened the seals. He is those seals, for the whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals who was opened. Because it's all wrapped up in him, see. What is the beginning of those seals then? Revealing Christ. And the very seven angels which represented the seven churches was all completed, and we couldn't even see it. In other words, the messengers that were down here, the angel representation from before the throne came down in that form. People say, well, that was Brother Branham's theophany. I don't believe it myself. I simply believe what I said tonight, because he never said he did. Now, and we couldn't even see it. They did. They took the picture, not us. And there he is standing there, supreme judge, showing he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. What identification? Well, judge is the end. It's the finalization of the word, because that disposition. How long the disposition takes is nothing. That's it. Like people are sitting on death row right now. They're already condemned. Quickening power did that to us. Quickening power lets us see his coming. Quickening power snatched us from death to life. Quickening power gives discernment to know what's wrong with you. Well, notice his words. They're all together. He was here when Brother Branham was discerning. What to do, what you've done, what you ought not to have done, and what you should have done, and what you will be. Quickening power. All these things. What does it? He's present. Who's talking to Brother Branham? God is talking. Who's going to work it up? The prophet's gone. God's going to work it up. Our Lord Jesus was so full of quickening power, he was all of it together. He was so full of quickening power, he said, you destroy this body, raise up in 3 days. Talk about confidence in quickening power. Destroy this body, this temple, I'll bring it up in 3 days. Why? Why did he say that? He knew that it was written in him, see? That it was written him by the word of God, which could not fail. The word said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave your soul in hell. And he knew that quickening power would raise him up. And there wouldn't be one cell that would corrupt. He said, you destroy this temple, I'll bring it back in 3 days. Why? It was prophecy, the word of God. And prophecy, if it's the true word of God, cannot fail. And the same prophecy, the word of God that said he'd raise him up, said that we are already raised with him. Now he's talking about now. He's not going back to what Paul said in the first age. The first age has become this age. We return to Ephesus. It's the same Ephesians. When you go back to an Ephesus, it's not another one. Because there's not another gospel. There's not another God. You're back to original. If you're back to original, then you're back to immortality. And it's written that the spirit that is now was in him, now also quickens our mortal body. And what does he keep saying that for? The spirit of God is now working on the mortal. Before it was always on the soul and the spirit. It's working on the mortal now. It's loose to work. It's loose to work right now. Now why are people looking to the grave and all? That's why I can't say I'm going to die. It'd be nice to get out of here. No big deal. I'm not afraid one way or the other. I just believe, that's all. What's the fear? What's this? What's that? The die is cast. It's over. We've got to face a bullet between the eyes or a bump on the head or what are you going to do? Heaven or hell? What are you going to do about it? You're stuck. You got trapped in the elevator. Well, let's see which way she goes. We're going up. As far as I'm concerned, they can do what they want. As is written that the spirit that is now was in him, now is in us, also quickens our mortal body. Now he's telling you, the function of the Spirit has changed to the function of indexing, labeling, categorizing every cell should it depart to bring it back. Ours is not going to depart. The function has changed. Not to take you down. There's no down and up. It's strictly up. In two out, from the inner man to the outer. Fear not, friend. The S-O-N is up. The S-O-N is up. The S-U-N is up. No, not that. Easy. Now, look at transfiguration. See, that's metamorphosis now. We were everyone represented there. There was the living, that's also the modern transfiguration. There were the living saints that had been raptured. There was Elijah standing there and Moses, the dead saints. Also, both of them in quickening power. Whether the one died and the other didn't die, they're all there. Notice, oh look, what we are seeing in these last days, the same thing happened in John 14:12. Certainly. People say you claim to have power. No, no, no. Now that power he's talking about is when a one man does greater than the ministry that Christ had on earth. You claim to have power. No, no, no. We're just like them at Mount Transfiguration. See? Certainly we do not claim power. But we, like they were on Mount Transfiguration, they weren't saying, Moses say, see who I am, and disciples say, see who I am. You know what happened? They saw Jesus glorified. That's all they wanted to see represented, Jesus glorified. Now, what did Peter say about that in 2 Peter? He said, the time would come when a prophet would be on the scene. And as prophecy came, revelation would come. Amen. And don't you make a move until the revelation. And then when the revelation does come, you better be get ready to make a move, because what if you don't move when the revelation does come? You stay in Egypt and you die with the plague of death. You're gone. Because the last plague is spiritual death. Now, we went all through that on the rapture tape on 2 Peter and 1 Peter also. And so today, we don't try to be some big person. We don't care what people say about us. Our name ain't nothing. It's His name. Our life is nothing. It's His life. It's His power, not our power. Now, the point is, who raises the dead? God raises the dead. And who's here to do it?
Amen.
What did the voice say? It was the voice of God. Glorify Him. Now, how can it be when He's glorified in us by His resurrection that's in us? His resurrection's in us now, see? We see Him represented again as He was today. You get that? He's telling you the Mount Transfiguration formula is on again. The dead and the living are coming together for a rapture. And they will meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and all glorified. Now, at that time, there must come forth a prophet who will bring forth the revelation of what is missing of what has already been spoken. Our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not to make some big name. Our desire is not to boost some church or to make some Sunday school or bring in and hogtie push in off or picnic or bring stars and buttons or something like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see Him glorified. Glorify what? Not with self-pride, but in this our lives to prove He's alive and in us. Now, if I can get myself out of the way, so in William Branham, not even thought of, and you not even thought of, do we see Jesus glorified amongst us? Now, that's the big thing, is to begin to give Him preeminence and get ourselves out of the way. That's the quickening power. And it gives us joy to know that we are with Him, both flesh and bone of Him, being the bride of Him and seeing His name, His same vindicated method proving in us that He's now risen from the dead. Certainly He's proving it us. He's not proving it out there. People think because the prophet stood there with the pillar of fire and God did a great thing before the world, that everybody said, oh, it proved to the world. It proved nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He came unto His own.
Amen.
And His own received Him not, absolutely not. He came to His own church. They kicked Him out lock, stock, and barrel. Out of here, get out of here.
Yeah.
But as many as received Him, not born of flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of the Holy Ghost, the born again, took Him on, said, hey, come here. You come with us. And we'll go with you. See, where do you live, Master? Come and see. Hey, I've been waiting for that. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit said, come and take a walk with me. I've been waiting for that. Certainly. We're getting down to the place of realities. It's just simple as eating and drinking and breathing and sleeping. Notice, we're redeemed by him and now risen with him. That's what Easter means to the people, risen with him. Notice, we have his spirit in us, the abstract deed fully paid. No, you don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it. Not I will make it, I've already made it. I never made it. In fact, he made it for me. See, not me, but him. Well, Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. He made it for me. That's all I want, all I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested. How can you do it? Call him down? No, he's in you. See, he's in you. Well, then, Lord, if I can get myself out of the way, you can manifest. How do you do it? Because you ordained it so. All that the Father gives me will come. Now, he tells you flat, nobody else is going to get to where you're going to get. With all this evidence collected with us this morning, I think of the song, Oh, that resurrection morning, when death's cords will be broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we'll rise. You believe that? We shall rise in him because we shall rise. In him, we become part of him, the Easter, the revealed secret of God, like it was then, of life after death. We are now alive, who were once dead in sins and trespasses. The Easter seal has broken death from around me, and I'm alive. Certainly, the creeds and dogmas are gone. The Easter seal at the beginning broke the seal of the Roman seal that he was sealed up with. A man who died had gone on, but he broke the seal and revealed the secret. And now God, by his Holy Spirit, has broken the seal from around our lives, and Christ has revealed that he lives in us, for now we are quickened with him. Oh, aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Way back down yonder in a little old coal shed one morning, the seals were broken, and I raised with him a new creature, his quickening power, the Son, the S-O-N's up. Now, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but that's not the experience that transpired down the line. That was God himself dealing with the man. Not long ago, a little story told by the fishermen. A fellow hired an old fisherman to take him up fishing the West Coast. Went out that morning, and if any of you fished out there for the salmon, why, you know what takes place. It gets foggy out there. I see the little brother Eddie Bisco down there, missionary of the Indians out there, and we fished ourselves right on those coasts. The fisherman was a kind of a greenhorn, you know. He went fishing and they drifted out, waiting for daylight to come, you know. They couldn't hear the foghorn anymore, and the fisherman got excited and said, hey, we're drifting to sea. Hey, got excited. And the old fisherman says, sit down, quiet. He knew what he's talking about. Said, just wait till the sun comes up, then we see where we're at. And that's exactly Ephesians 1:17. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes in to make known to the church exactly where it's at, reveal the deep, mysterious secrets of Almighty God. And that takes you right into the resurrection. You say, must I be Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal? Just wait. The Son, S-O-N, comes up. You'll see where you're at. He is the Word. Wait till you see the Word manifested, shining across the seed, the wave sheaf. We'll see where we're at. Do you love him? I'm sorry he kept you so long. How many of you can stay over tonight? And that's just about the end of the entire sermon. Now, he tells you right there that there's going to be manifested with no way out. There's no way anybody can stop it. There's going to be a bride here on earth that's immortalized, and there's going to be those come out of the ground. Now, let's face it. As the world didn't understand what happened, he's here, and it was not to the world. It's a witness against him. It was for us strictly. We received it. They will still not know what's going on. They do not know what's going on. That's why I take my stand with William Branham. I believe we're correct. If we're not correct, at least we've done our best to stand with the Word of Almighty God. When he said, always looking back, always looking forward. You can't do it. You can't look back. You can't look forward. You drop what's behind you, and you watch what is here. That's the secret of the whole thing. Now, you've got to wait for God to do the manifesting. He did it. All things are of God. Just bear with him in patience. Don't just take yourself like old Noah. Keep building your ark, pounding your nails. Whatever you're doing, just keep moving on in. Remember, the sun at the end time has risen, and this is the great Easter. There is going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a time of transfiguration. There is going to be a rapture. It is going on now. That's what people don't understand. We are into it. We are into it. Now, all they've got to do is recognize if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as soon as Jesus was born, they were already into it. Into what? Into the prophet, into the Lamb, into the resurrection, into the baptism, into the millennium, into everything. Because in him is all of it, in stages of manifestation where the roles are and the mask has changed. And now you're in the position right now of the role of Almighty God in a pillar of fire who came forth as the judge, where the judgment, where the throne of mercy is turning to a judgment seat where the blood will not avail any longer. People come and say, well, the blood was shed. I can come right now. There's no way. Those things are all running out. See, and people know it. They know it intrinsically, but they're looking down the road. How many times did you wake up before you got really used to daylight saving time? How many? Well, you know, you might have done it 2 or 3 years in a row. Well, you thought you were right on schedule, and you forgot to turn your clock. Right. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell. He forgot till it was too late. And he remembered in a hurry. Didn't do him any good. And that's what's wrong with people that ain't. That's what's wrong, I believe, and this is why I preach as hard as I do, and I stand where I stand. Now, that's my business. I can do what I want. They can do what he wants. I won't go to their churches, and believe me, they'll not come to mine. Just that simple. Just that simple. If you want to look back to Pentecost, look down the road, that's fine. I look right under my nose right here. And I've had a nose bob job to make my nose short, too. I'm not an elm sticking my trunk up somewhere. It's right under my nose. You know what it is? Right here.
Amen.
God doing it. He promised. That's all you got to do. It's out of your hands, out of my hands. See, people begin to realize that. Then when they really realize, that's when they begin to get out of the way. That's right. Then you watch. No, I'm not out here trying to do what Elijah and Moses are going to do. No. No. You'll just be going down the road, being what you're supposed to be. And nobody but you and God will give a hoop. And whatever brides are on you. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So if you think you're going to be some glamorous stage floozy, boy, you go ahead. I mean, that's fine, but I'm not interested. Don't call me to the party. I'm not interested. Right? Just keep on. In other words, just keep on keeping on. Just have faith. Keep your faith. Do the best you can. Sure, do the best you can. Keep getting out of the way. Keep loving the right way. Not this hogwash love. The real love. There's a real love. If God's Spirit and God's love and God's Word, you better get those things reconciled. And don't say, well, God's love and put him way out here. God's Spirit and put him way out there. And God's Word and put him way here. Well, hey, just a minute. You cut him up in three pieces again. Get him back to one. All right, let's rise. Sunday morning. 11 o'clock. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank you for love and your mercy and your kindness bestowed upon us. We are certainly grateful. We praise thee, O God, for such a time we come together and go over the sermons your prophet left us, opening up our hearts and minds because we know some of the keys that were laid out before us. We know his perspective and his understanding. And the more we know, the more we realize we've got to stay within that perspective and that understanding. We simply cannot move outside of it. Or the word is just misdivided. Help us, Lord, to keep in a constant division and in an attitude, Lord, of the sheer love of Almighty God, exercised according to the word by him that is at work within us, the power of God. Father, help us to get out of the way. Lord, we were glad to get out of the way concerning the cross and those things that you suffered and died on. Now help us to get out of the way so you can live because you're worthy. May we give you the preeminence in every way, shape, and form, so that by word and by deed, we may certainly be living epistles read and known of all men. And if nobody likes us, that's wonderful, as long as you love us, Lord.
Yes.
And if we don't please anybody else, that's not going to be known, ever mind us, Lord, long as we please you. And especially, Lord, help us not to please ourselves, but to remember to please you be all pleasing. Father, we want that. We love you tonight. We praise you for your love. It's far greater than ours. If we were to just ask you to accept our love and then pay us in return your love, we would never do that, Lord. No way, shape, and form. We're so glad that the divine oceans of your limitless love are falling upon us. And we, Lord, in turn, love you a little. And Father, we trust that it may be with every ounce of our being, whatever lies there, as we ourselves, that ego, gets out of the way, and we find ourselves flowing in the divine love and sea of our God. Bless everyone present, Lord, as we go. Bless the absent among us. We thank you, Lord, for providing jobs and helping people. Pray that you'll give everyone that blessing, O Lord, of rich provision. which we know lies here for each one, Father, as we exercise our faith. We, Father, we know sometimes it's difficult, a little old trials, never hurt anybody yet. Just make us stronger, O God. Just keep us that way. And again, we thank you for the lovely time we've had tonight, the love of the people of God, because of the love of God, the joy of the Lord, His mercy in all these things. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen. Let's sing, "Take the Name of Jesus" with you.